Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To London, Economist reporting. On June 4th, Ukrainian forces launched what Russia's defense ministry called a, quote, large-scale assault on 5 axes in the southeast of Donetsk province, eastern Ukraine. Some of them may indeed threaten the land bridge. Others were further to the north. Western officials tell The Economist that this does, in fact, mark the start of the offensive. We go to the London Telegraph, the daily paper associated with the government, the Conservatives. Headline, Ukraine launches multiple attacks along front line amid claims counteroffensive has begun. Ukraine did not directly comment, goes the report, but the general in command of its ground forces said, quote, they continue to move forward, end quote. Caution here is needed. My analogy is the D-Day invasion 79 years ago. Midnight brought the first reports in Eastern wartime from German shortwave radio monitored in New York. The invasion, the invasion was on. There was no confirmation in Washington or New York for hours. The Pentagon, the lights went on, people raced back to the office, but no confirmation. It wasn't until 3.5 hours after they first heard the German report of parachutes, of extra bombing, of naval gunfire off of Pas-de-Calais. 3.5 hours later, there was a statement by General Eisenhower, commanding the Suprema headquarters. He read that this is the invasion. And that was the incident that was reported in New York confirmed. We have no such statement. So I go to John Hardy, John at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, watching the map of eastern Ukraine. John, a very good evening to you. With all the caveats that I've now attended to, what do you make of these early reports? Is this a counteroffensive? Is this a feint? Are these probes? Good evening to you, John.
Well, thanks for having me. I think your caution is warranted. The Ukrainian side is being very quiet and careful about what they say. So really, right now, we're limited to reports from Russian sources and what meager information there is in the Western press. So before I answer your question, I just want to give some context so listeners can understand my answer. I think it's important to remember that this counteroffensive will likely play out over some months. And it may involve a series of smaller offenses rather than one a giant sweep. I think listeners should also remember that for the past few weeks, Ukraine has been conducting so-called shaping operations designed to set conditions for a successful counteroffensive. So this means things like raids in Belgorod Oblast, and there was in fact another raid over the past couple of days. Also long-range strikes, including using Ukraine's new UK-supplied Storm Shadow missiles, targeting high-value Russian military targets deep in the rear. So that leads us to yesterday, we have that report from the Russian Ministry of Defense, as well as a flurry of reports of Ukrainian battalion and company-sized attacks, really across the front line, all the way from Zaporizhia Oblast in the south up to the east in Bakhmut and further north, but really focused on that area in southern Donetsk Oblast. It seems that Ukraine, at least based on the reports from Russian sources, seems that Ukraine is trying to cut off a salient of Russian forces in that area. But I think we should recognize that, again, just based on the Russian reports, it seems like Ukraine still has not yet committed the vast majority of its newly created brigades for this counteroffensive. So that leads me to believe what we're seeing right now is probing, reconnaissance in force, and perhaps in southern Donetsk, a diversion operation, something to draw Russia's attention, perhaps setting up a more powerful strike elsewhere on the battlefield.
We're looking at provinces north to south, Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, Kherson. They all lead up to the Crimea. My understanding, John, is that Crimea is the gem in the crown. That is the one that Ukraine means to retake by cutting it off. This offensive that we're told, again, fog of war, we're given what they give us. The first parachutes, according to the D-Day invasion, were landing well away from the Cherbourg Peninsula, well away from it. There was no accurate reporting of parachutists where we now know they were hitting, nor were there any confirmation that it was the Normandy beaches. There was everything for hours speculating, so we could be following the same misreporting out of Moscow. But in any event, the reporting points to somewhere in the south of the Donetsk province, driving towards the Sea of Azov. Does that make common sense to you, John, that they would try to cut the bridge there?
I think that could be a likely and a successful approach. It still remains to be seen if that's what they're going to try to do, or if perhaps that's a supporting access and the main effort is elsewhere, maybe pushing toward the city of Melitopol, further to the west. So it really remains to be seen. I think the Ukrainian strategy isn't yet clear. I think that could make sense. The Russian defensive lines are probably a bit weaker in the area in Donetsk Oblast. The Russian construction of fortified lines, mining, et cetera, seems to have been most heavily concentrated in Zaporizhia Oblast to the west of Donetsk. So if Ukraine wanted to sort of dodge those heavy defenses, perhaps a push toward Mariupol instead of Melitopol could make sense.
A detail, John, about what's been going on these last days. These reports are within the last hour. There's darkness. There's overnight in Europe right now. There won't be any significant move until early on the next day. But you have been reporting on drones and missiles. Has there been a pattern that you can discern, John? We have a couple of minutes. Where the missiles are striking, where the drones are striking.
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, Ukraine has been conducting shaping operations to try to set conditions for the counteroffensive. Russia is really doing the same thing, just the inverse. They're trying to undermine Ukraine's ability to conduct a successful counteroffensive. So whereas over the winter, Russia's strike campaign really targeted Ukrainian critical infrastructure, over the past few weeks, we've seen a really dramatic increase in the frequency of strikes, and mainly targeting military targets, so airfields, logistics depots, things of that nature.
And the Ukrainians, have they been using their drones and their missiles? I know they have missiles that they got from Western Europe, from NATO. Have you seen any pattern there, or are they holding them in abeyance?
No, they have conducted a string of strikes over the past few weeks. There's been the drone attacks in Moscow and elsewhere. I think those are mostly harassing psychological effect. The probably more militarily significant strikes have been using Storm Shadow, HIMARS, et cetera, mostly concentrated in the south. The port of Berdyansk has been a key location.
The Economist goes on to say that American and European military officials advising Ukraine say that Russia's defensive lines could be more fragile than thought, and that a fast, violent assault is the best way to minimize casualties on the Ukrainian side. Now, that sounds a great deal like World War I. Should I think of that analogy? We're going to break through and then roam behind the enemy's trenches.
Well, I think what we have right here is two forces that are really untested. Ukraine formed a lot of new brigades, staffed largely with mobilized personnel. And then Russia, its forces also comprised increasingly of mobilized troops, in many cases poorly trained. So
we have 30 seconds, John. Go ahead.
Really, we have two really untested forces. They're going to go up against each other. It remains to be seen how strong Russia's lines are, despite the heavy construction of fortifications over the past few months.
Yes, trenches didn't work in the first war either, but what defeated them was the tank, and there are plenty of those on the battlefield. John Hardy, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Fog of War.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.